We started last Sunday night a series called Let the Bible Speak. And what we did is we just took a particular doctrine that men have taught. And so we're going tonight to let the Bible speak about inherited sin. Let's go to slide 3. We'll come back to slide 2 in just a minute. But we want to contrast the doctrines of men. People teach things that are not found in the Bible, and it impacts our lives as we study others, and we know how needed to know what these terms mean and how to understand it and how to use the Bible and read the Bible to understand. There's a contrast before that doctrine singular that comes from God and the doctrines of men. And so last week we began this series, and tonight we take a different topic. And tonight we want to talk about, has a person, even a child, inherited sin from Adam? Now the doctrine of men has some terminology to describe it. You may have heard the idea of total depravity. Now that's a part of describing this, that a baby, when he is born, is totally depraved. He could not be more headed for hell than Satan himself. The totality of him is depraved. Where does that come from? Well, the doctrine sometimes is called the matter of inherited sin. And it is widely, widely believed. The largest Protestant denomination in America believes the idea that man, while he is not totally depraved, is somewhat depraved. For the influence of this doctrine leads to some other matters. For example, if an individual, a baby that is born, is totally depraved, what on earth are you going to do about his salvation? Here's a little baby that's just been born. If he's a child of Satan when he is born, what are you going to do? Well, if you understand baptism is for the remission of sins, guess what you're going to do? Do you know that the doctrine of total depravity, the doctrine of inherited sin, is one of the reasons people baptize infants? Now, when they baptize infants, they do not immerse infants. Now, the first example of an individual not being immersed comes in church history about the year 251 A.D. A fellow by the name of Novatia, he was sick. He was in his bed. So they brought bucket after bucket of water and just poured water on him and poured water on him until he was just absolutely saturated. And they called it clinical baptism. Well, that became a thing that was more common. They used less and less water. And when you get into the winter months and you try to find a place to immerse someone, sometimes you got to chop through their ice, you understand, to do that. So the matter of baptizing infants, they sprinkled water on them. That's not in the Bible. Where did that come from? Well, it was popularized by the doctrine of total depravity. I don't know if you can imagine how difficult it might be to immerse a baby that is screaming and crying. I don't know. Have you ever tried to immerse a cat? Now, I don't know if you've ever... You can immerse a dog, but there's no way on earth you can immerse a cat. And so here's a baby, and so they wanted to... They started using this matter of sprinkling water on a baby. Now, we talked about that larger denomination, and this is widely believed in Christendom, and that is that man has inherited something from Adam. Now, there was that time 150 years ago when all of the mainstream denominations believed we inherited sin. I'm talking about mainstream, the larger denominations in church history, like the Roman Catholics, like the Church of England, like the Episcopal Church, like the Methodists and the Presbyterians. all of them believed in total depravity. Now, many of them do not believe it, except they believe that we have inherited from Adam not total depravity, but semi-depravity. And that's my terminology. I have inherited from Adam, a baby when he was born, has inherited from Adam a sinful nature. Now, that's the doctrines of men. Look over here on the other side. Let God be true. And so in the time that remains tonight, I want us to take time to look at this and to look at what the Bible says, and then just encourage every one of us to be those kinds of people that say, we are going to let the Bible be true. What does the Bible say about this? First of all, let's define sin. If I've inherited sin, if I am totally depraved, then sin is in my life. What is sin? Look in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. I just want to ask you a question. Here's a baby that is minutes old. Which of the laws of God has that child broken? I'm amazed how this doctrine can be so popularly believed, especially when it comes to the matter of grandchildren. You may have thought that your children might have been had inherited some sort of sin, but not your grandchildren. Think about how innocent that little baby is. Think of the purity as we look. What sin? If that child is born a sinner, what sin has that child committed? I want you to think about it. You look at those lists of sins and those catalogs of sins. Which one of the commandments of God? Has he made graven images? To look at the Old Testament. Has he borne false witness? Has he coveted? Has he murdered? Has he lied? Has he done all of the things? Look at the New Testament commandments. What sin? The baby is just milliseconds out of the womb. And the doctrine of total depravity says he is damned for hell because of sin. What sin? Let God be true. Sin is not something that you inherit. Sin is something that you do. It's not a condition. It is an action. And if you've read the Bible at all and seen those catalog of sins, the works of the flesh are manifest, which of these, adultery and fornication and uncleanliness and lasciviousness and envy and hate and murder, and they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Which of those commandments has that child violated? Let God be true. But there are those individuals who doesn't the Bible talk a little bit about the matter that sin came into the world through Adam and that sin has come upon us because of Adam? I want you to let the Bible be true. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 and 22. Verse 21 says, for since by man came death, that's Adam, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Why do people die today? Why do people die today? For the very same reason that Adam and Eve sinned. They were separated from the tree of life. Now, if they'd been able to go back to the garden and continue to eat of that tree of the life, for you remember, there were two trees in the mystery garden that were special. They were not forbidden to eat of the tree of life, only the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord put an angel there with a flaming sword so they would not be able to continue to do what they'd been doing. You know what happened? They died. You know what happened to Adam's kids? They died. They died. They died. You know what's going to... Do you know what the Bible says you've inherited from Adam? As in Adam all die. Now look at this. The rest of the verse says, even so, that's equality, in the very same sense that we have died, by that sin came into the world, death came into the world, by man also came the resurrection from the dead, as in Adam all die. Is that spiritual? Even so. I want you to look at that word even. Equality. Even so as those things that were in Adam are impacted by Jesus. Even so in Christ, all shall be made alive. You know what he's talking about? Resurrection. How do I know? Look at the verse. Look at the verse before. Whatever is in our life as a result of Adam being in the world and Adam's sin, whatever we lost in Adam, we regain in Christ. It's the resurrection. What kind of death entered into the world through Adam? It's physical death. And what kind of life has Jesus brought? Everlasting life. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. Jesus is going to raise them, everyone, everybody that's ever lived. Why are they going to have to be raised? Because they died. Why did they die? They died in Adam. I want you to feel the force of that. Even so, whatever Adam brought into the world that was negative is that which we have regained in Christ. Let God be true and every man a liar. You remember the sins that kept individuals from entering into the promised land? You remember they came out of the land of Egypt. They were baptized in the sea and in the cloud. They were out there in the wilderness, and they perished in the wilderness. You're not going to enter in. Now, I want you to look how Jesus or how the God described the nature of children, the nature of that baby that is milliseconds old. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, the Lord was angry with me for your sake, saying, every one of you, even you, shall not go into the land. You're going to perish in the wilderness. The next verse, verse 38 says, oh, Caleb's going to be able to go in. Joshua and Caleb's going to be able. But then look how he describes those innocent ones. Your little ones, your children, whom you say would be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil. Children have no knowledge of good and evil. They shall go in, to them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Do you know there were some other individuals who had no knowledge of good and evil? Yes, Adam and Eve in the garden, innocent. What about a newborn baby? Innocent, no knowledge of good and evil, and the judgment that God brought for the sin, the judgment was on those who knew good and evil. They have no knowledge of good and evil. Let me show you Jesus' attitude toward little children. Let God be true, and every man a liar. At that time, Matthew chapter 18, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then shall be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst, and said, "Assuredly I say unto you, unless you are converted and become as a little children, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Wait a minute. Children are totally depraved. And Jesus, because he sets a child in the midst of them, says, unless you are totally depraved, you cannot enter into heaven. That doesn't make sense. You know why? Because children are innocent. They have not inherited sin. They have not transgressed the law of God. And the very fact that the Lord uses the word converted and says that those who need to enter the kingdom are those who must be converted. In chapter 19, he says, you know, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Little children, let God be true. Can I show you what I believe is really perhaps the most outstanding verse describing this? Has to do with Jesus himself. Look in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Was Jesus totally depraved? I want you to understand the force of these words. Did Jesus have a sinful nature? Was he evil? The doctrine of sinful nature says that inside of me is evil. A newborn baby, milliseconds outside the womb, is evil. His very nature is sinful. If his very nature is sinful, then what about Jesus? Oh, Jesus was special. If Jesus was special, then he was not in all points tempted like I am. If I'm evil, then I'm more susceptible to sin. But if Jesus did not have an evil nature, he wasn't tempted like I am. You've got to understand the force of the doctrine as it applies to Jesus himself. Go back to slide 2 and put Psalms 51 up there to show you the influence that has happened in our world. In verse 5, David says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." The New International Version that some use, you cannot always trust it. You know how the New International Version translates this verse? I was born in sin. I was born a sinner. What does the verse say? I want you to listen to what God says. David is talking about the enormity of the sin that he has committed with Bathsheba. And he says in relationship in verse 4, I've sinned against you and in your sight that you might be just. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin I was born. Is that what the text says? You take this verse and apply it absolutely literal. That has nothing at all to do with the birth of David. It has to do with his mama. In sin did my mother conceive me. Now there's another possibility. But if you're going to say, look at what the verse says, that I was born a sinner, this verse says nothing at all about David being born a sinner. in sin did my mother conceive me. What's the possibility of the meaning of that is found in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, you come to the fact that these individuals there on the day of Pentecost, these individuals who were there on that day, heard these disciples speaking in other tongues in the languages wherein we were born. You from Parthia? You from Ethiopia? You from any of those nations of our land or the nations of that day? You were born, and had you been there? They were born in a language. That mean they could talk? Absolutely not. It means they were born in a place where this language was that which was spoken. The language in which we were born. You've got to feel the force of that. Put that parallel to Psalms 51, where David's mother may not have even been a sinner in the conception of David, but David was born in a world where there was sin, like those people were born in a place where those languages were spoken. Let's look at the clearest verses in relationship to this, and that is in the book of Ezekiel. Go ahead and put that on the boards. What do you mean when you say this proverb concerning the land of Egypt, saying, "The fathers have eaten grapes, and now it's impacted their children"? What do you mean when you say this? Do you know that's exactly what the doctrine of inherited sin says? My father, Adam, ate of the forbidden fruit. Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, and it's impacted my life. He says, what do you mean when you're saying that? As I live, says the Lord, you shall not use this proverb you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Now look at verse 20 when he says, the soul that sins shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. You want God to be true about the matter of inherited sin? Here's the doctrines of men. Here's the doctrine of God. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Folks, that's not just another interpretation. That's a quotation of the very words God gave to Ezekiel to write down. The son shall not inherit, shall not bear the sins of the father. Adam, you may have eaten the forbidden fruit. Abel, your teeth are not set on edge. You have not inherited anything from the impact or from the action of your father, for sin is not something you inherit, it's something you do. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let's let God be true about your salvation. It may be that you've been thinking about giving your life to Jesus Christ. And so we encourage you tonight to understand, let God be true about what you must do to be saved. These are Bible verses. They teach we must believe, we must be converted, that's repentance. We must confess our faith in Jesus, and we must be immersed in water in order to be a part of His kingdom. In order to be a part of God's eternal plan of salvation. If you haven't done that, you can do it right now. If you're a wayward Christian and need to come home, you can come home now. How can we help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now? As together we stand and sing. Will you come?